The proper title for today's subject is Where to Get Wisdom. I'll try not to make this complicated. I'll try and keep it as simple as we can, because if it's complicated, I won't understand it myself. So, what is wisdom? I thought I'd have a quick check in the dictionary. You know, sometimes we say words and they're part of our sentence. And I sometimes wonder if we really understand what they actually mean. And sometimes people ask you, don't they? Well, what does that word mean? Then you struggle a little bit. You sort of know, but you don't know how to put it in words. You know what I mean? Like I'm struggling now, you see. So I thought I'd have a quick look in the dictionary. And wise, I looked at wise first because wisdom just comes within the wise word, if you like. Wise means having intelligence and knowledge. Right, now, I don't want you to get confused here. I don't want you to think that you've got to be some intellectual or something like that. You know, everybody can be wise. You don't have to have hundreds of degrees and A-levels and all that sort of stuff, right? It's just having some sort of intelligence and knowledge. And wisdom, it says wisdom is knowledge rightly applied. So I understood that. So wise means that you've got something up here. Some intelligence and some knowledge, and wisdom means that you actually know how to use it properly. Does that make sense? Good. I hope so. Well, it does say in the Bible that, Colin's already mentioned it, that Solomon, it says in the Bible, Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. He asked God for wisdom, and God answered his prayer, and he gave him so much that he was famous for it. Obviously, you can tell that I never asked for very much. So, and there's some good stories about Solomon and his wisdom. But I discovered as I was looking through this passage and looking in my concordances and that there's actually two kinds of wisdom. There's two kinds. There's one from God and there's one from the devil. And that does pose a bit of a problem, because how can you tell which is which? The first one of my headings is wise faith, wise faith. I'm just going to read through the passage we read in James once again. All right, it's only a short passage, and then we'll go on from there. So it says in James chapter 3 and verse 13, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness." There was a man in Boston in the USA who was entertaining a famous Chinese scholar. They don't give me the name, so I can't tell you who it is, but he's obviously some intellectual, some famous chap from China, and he was in Boston. And this particular gentleman was looking after him and entertaining him. And they were in Boston, and they're actually in the city, and barely giving this Chinese man time to breathe, he said, "Come on, we need to rush down to the subway." Now, the subway isn't where you go and get a roll with, it's what we call the underground, all right? So it's like the underground. So he said, "Quick, if we hurry, we can catch the next train and it'll save us 3 minutes." And this Chinese man looked at him and said, "And what significant thing are we going to do with that 3 minutes?" Have you ever thought of that? I'm just as bad. I've loved over the years, latter years, having father and daughter days in London. Don't get me wrong, I do things with my boys as well. But for me and Joe, we quite like London. Now I'm on a pension, I probably won't be able to go there anymore. No, it's not that bad. I've always enjoyed it. But, do you know, I've always noticed something. We would drive up the M3 and then we'd head to Richmond, park the car in Richmond, and then we'd walk at 100 miles an hour to Richmond Station to get a ticket to get the underground. What for? And when we were in London, If you notice that you don't go down the escalators of the stairs slowly, you run. Why? You don't even know when the train's coming, yet we always run, don't we? You know, we're having a nice day out. We're going to go see Buckingham Palace and go down to St. James Park, watch the world go by. What are we running for? What are we running for? I wonder if we ever stop and think about the things that we do. Is there any reason for doing them? Or do we just live life on automatic pilot? And I've got to admit, there's times when I have done that. This automatic pilot. Many's the time I've gone down to Motorway to Portsmouth to work, and I'll be at work and I can't remember anything about actually getting to work. You know, was I watching them? Was where I was going on the motorway, or was the car just going by itself? Automatic pilot. Proverbs 4 and verse 7 says, wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. And this passage in James agrees with Proverbs and focuses on the need for wisdom. So let us take a look at what it tells us. It tells us that wisdom is important. And this is what I was saying earlier about, although we're looking at this few verses in James, actually it still ties in with other verses and stuff we've already looked at. And we've already looked at James chapter 1, and it says in James chapter 1 and verse 5, it actually tells us how to get wisdom. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. You see, God wants us to have wisdom. But there is an important question, which I've already mentioned. If you ask for wisdom, how do you know where it's coming from? Is it actually coming from God, or is it coming from the devil? You see, if it comes from the devil, it doesn't necessarily have to be something horrible that he's telling you to do, because he's cunning. So do you just accept the first thing that pops into your head, or is there something more? You see, the devil is always willing to give his opinion. He's always ready to and available to influence us in our decisions, so that we end up doing what he wants instead of what God wants. So how can you tell the difference? And James tells us that it's important to understand that there is a difference, and that there is two kinds of wisdom. There's godly wisdom and there is demonic wisdom. And God wants us to discern between the two. Let me perhaps give you an example. You're having an argument. That's fine, Amelia. You carry on. I've got no problem with that. Let me give you an example. And I'm sure we've probably all fallen into this trap. You're having an argument with someone. It doesn't start off as an argument. It's just a little bit of a disagreement. But it ends up with an argument. And you might be a fine Christian man or woman or boy or girl or young person. And it's just getting a little heated. And have you noticed that when things do get heated and you're talking, you know, it's coming out faster than you can think up here. Have you noticed that when it's like that, when you're angry like that, you're always right? Have you noticed that? When it gets heated, you're always right. You're always right. You're all fired up and you have your say. Then later on, when you start to calm down and you think about what happened, you suddenly realize actually what you said wasn't right. It wasn't right. What happened? You're influenced by your emotions. I remember once at work years ago when I was on the shop floor, and I can't even remember what it was about. It was probably something stupid, but me and another craftsman, we had an argument, and it got quite bad. It got so bad that I couldn't sleep that night. That's how bad it was. It was over something really silly. I can't even remember what it was, so it must have been silly, because if it was something important, I probably would have remembered it. But I couldn't sleep that night. I mean, he wasn't a Christian. I was. That was even worse. That made it even worse. that I shouldn't have done it. And I felt really bad. And, you know, the next day I went in to work, and the first thing I did, as soon as he came, I went and apologized. I had to apologize to him. And I said, I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have been like that yesterday. He said, no. He said, it was my fault. That was nice, wasn't it? But I shouldn't have done it in the beginning. I shouldn't have done it in the beginning. Not much wisdom, I'm afraid. We've probably all fallen into that trap one way or other. Sometimes it's perhaps not so bad. Sometimes it does get bad. But I always remember that. Can't remember what it was about, but I just remember how rubbish I felt afterwards. I felt good at the time when I was giving it plenty. And I was saying all the right things. But not really. So let's understand something first, that even though perhaps something can seem right at the time, it doesn't mean that it is. So as I said, there's two kinds of wisdom, and here's the first one, earthly wisdom. Let's have a little look at earthly wisdom. I promise this won't take very long, all right, because I realize it's quite hot, isn't it? Earthly wisdom, that doesn't sound too good, does it? You see, the person who's got this earthly or worldly wisdom may boast that he or she does God's work, when in fact they only do it to benefit themselves. And such a person, it says in the Bible, should not boast about what he or she does for God, because if they do, it would be a lie. They will be denying the truth. You know, just as we can recognize, if we go out, we can recognize the spring by tasting the water, so we can recognize what kind of wisdom a man has by observing his fruits. The fruit of heavenly wisdom is humility. We'll go into that in a minute. That is good to know, though, isn't it? So let's have a look at the characteristics of earthly wisdom, this bad kind of wisdom. And here are some things in the passage that we've read to describe it. It talks about bitter envy, bitter envy. Now, in the Greek, now I don't want you to think I'm a Greek scholar. I cheated. I had to look it up. But in the Greek, the word means jealousy. Well, I understand that, jealousy. And I didn't realize this, really. I always sort of link envy and jealousy as all one and the same. But actually, there's a subtle difference. Envy, it says this, if you're envious of something, it means I should have had that instead of you. So if you're envious of something, I should have had that instead of you. But jealousy says, I should have had that too. So there is a subtle difference. You want it as well. I should have had that too. And demonic wisdom is motivated by jealousy. It's that kind of attitude that says, I want what he's got, or I want what she's got. And it brings out the next characteristic, selfish ambition. It means that we're motivated by self-interest. You'll have to excuse me, I'm drying up faster. It's like being at the dentist, you know? You badly want to have a rinse, but you can't because he's got his fist in your mouth. Well, we must all have an idea about selfish ambition, because we've just had the general election, haven't we? We've just had the general election. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying all politicians are like this, but I think there are some that say, vote for me. Think about me. It's all about me. What's in it for me? And we know that is true with some, because we had the scandal, didn't we, of the money that they spent some years ago now. And life is like that, isn't it? I mean, I'm sure, I know there's times in my life where I've had selfish ambition. It's about me. That's what's good about being married to Ruth, because she keeps me in check on stuff like that. And actually, some of my kids do as well, funnily enough. I've learned a lot from a couple of them, especially. So, I suppose selfish ambition means that we're motivated by a self-interest. But that's the exact opposite to what God is talking about. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." You see, we're supposed to be looking out for God's interests and the interest of his kingdom. Philippians 2 verses 3 and 4 says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but for the interests of others." We're supposed to be looking out for the interests of others. Here's a good illustration. You remember in the life of the Lord Jesus when he was predicting his death and how he would have to suffer at the hands of the chief priests and the elders. And good old Peter. I love Peter, because there's a lot about Peter that I would fall into the same trap that he does. You see, Peter had this brilliant idea, and it seemed to him at the time like the right thing to do. So he took Jesus aside and started to tell him off, because he said, "There was no way, Jesus, that anything bad is going to happen to you." And do you know what Jesus did? He rebuked him. He told him off. He said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." That's in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 23. Ever wondered why Jesus was so tough on Peter? It was because Peter was motivated by self-interest. You might think, what? He was only interested in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, yes, he was. He didn't want anything to happen to Jesus. And that's fine. I'm sure we would have all been the same. He didn't want anything to happen to Jesus. But he was rather enjoying having Jesus with him. He was rather enjoying having Jesus around. That's what his motivation was. There was nothing wrong with that, but that's not what Jesus was here for. And he hadn't understood what Jesus had been telling them about why he had come. So he didn't have the interests of the kingdom at heart, the kingdom of heaven. And the next few characteristics of bad wisdom are these: boasting, lying, confusion. And these are all indicators that the wisdom is not from above. So what's the wisdom from above like? Heavenly wisdom. I'm not saying that everything we do, just because we get something wrong, it's really, oh, that's really evil. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I remember once I was driving through Titchfield and I was coming out onto the road that goes to Stumington. You know, you come out of the traffic lights and there's a bit of a hill start there. And, well, actually, there wasn't traffic lights in those days. Otherwise, this wouldn't have happened if there had been traffic lights. I was waiting to come out on the road and I saw a cement mixer coming up the road and I thought, I want to get out in front of them. You know, it's another time thing, isn't it? Another time thing. I want to get out in front of that cement mixer. And I actually had a bit of time to do it if I put my foot down. The only trouble was I did it in third gear instead of first. And I suspect, I did get out in front of the lorry, but he had to slow down. And I suspect, I couldn't see him, which was probably a good thing, but I suspect the lorry driver had some wise words for me, which probably wouldn't have been very choice. So that wasn't a really evil thing I did. It was a stupid thing, but it wasn't very wise, was it? It wasn't very wise. Heavenly wisdom. Let's have a quick look at heavenly wisdom. Well, obviously, just like earthly wisdom, this one has certain characteristics as well, so that we can be clear that they are coming from God. And in verse 13, it really talks about the first one. Verse 13, it says, good life. This isn't the kind of wisdom where you just sit under a fig tree and spout off clever sayings to those who pass by. This kind of wisdom is very practical, which actually we've been speaking about over the last few weeks. It translates into good behavior. And this kind of wisdom is made very clear in chapter 2. It's concerned a real understanding of faith, hasn't it? Do you remember we talked about faith? and the results of faith. It's no good having faith without actions, is it? So, with faith, you need some good works. What else can we find out? You see, godly wisdom is no good if it doesn't impact on our behavior. You see, it's the real deal, isn't it? It's a challenge, this, isn't it? It's a challenge to me. I don't know about you. God's wisdom, you see, is pure. His wisdom is pure because God is pure. And our wisdom must be pure, or else it cannot lead to peace and good fruit. In fact, James says that it is first pure and then peaceable. This means that we don't sacrifice our values for the sake of keeping peace. You know, and that's what some people do, and I'm sure I've done it as well. You see, they sacrifice what is right for what is easy. They sacrifice what is right for what is easy. You see, it's peace at any price, but we can't afford to simply go along with the crowd just because we want to be Mr. and Mrs. Popularity. Purity is important to God. And God's wisdom is peace-loving. A wise man does not cause strife. A wise man is quick to listen and slow to speak. James 1 and verse 19 says, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. In fact, I got a feeling that came out in our house group this week, because obviously last week we were talking about this clever little part of our body, the tongue. So a wise man is peace-loving. He always tries to do what leads to peace. Another story from work. Over later years, I've been working in a drawing office, and emails, the paperless society. God, we generate it so quick now that the emails. You might find this hard to believe, but when I was younger, I could get quite hot under the collar. I'd be very quiet, peaceable for a long time, and then I suppose it would all build up inside me, and then it was like a volcano going off, I suppose. But as I've gotten older, and hopefully a little bit wiser, I've learned to control that. But I remember an email I got last year. And for those of you who don't know, I used to work in the naval base, and I had a team of design engineers who worked for me. And I had an email from someone who actually used to work in our section but was in another part of the naval base. And he sent an email, which I got late one afternoon, and he was basically slagging off the work that one of my design engineers had done. He never told me what he didn't like about it, but there was a whole, inside. It was really hard to keep calm. Really has, but I'd learned over the years that if something happened, whether someone spoke to you or someone sent you an email like that, put it to one side. Go home, forget about work, go to sleep, and then the next morning, you're actually in a much better frame of mind. So the next morning, I wrote a lovely email back to the gentleman. I said, I'm really disappointed that we've sent you a really bad set of drawings and guidance. Please could you let me know what you don't like, where we've gone wrong, so we can put it right in the future. And that's how I answered every point he'd made, but he hasn't actually told me what he didn't like. Guess what? I never got an email back, but the work got done on the ship, all right, with no questions asked. So he obviously had a problem somewhere, but I don't think it was with our work. But I could have easily gone back to him with an email which was just as bad as his. And would it have done any good? No. It wouldn't have done any good at all. And it was interesting because I never ever got any more from him in the rest of my time there at work. So what his problem was, I don't know to this day. But Jesus said in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Paul said, if it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. It doesn't always depend on us, but sometimes we can be our own worst enemies. You know, if we're miserable, if we're unkind, if we're perhaps a bit obnoxious because we are standing for the truth, that's not good enough. God says that we are to make every effort to make peace with others. The wise man is considerate. He cares about others. He doesn't speak hurtful words. The wise man is submissive. He is willing to remain in submission to others. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The wise man does not try to control other people, rather he respects their thoughts and desires. The wise man is full of mercy. He does not judge others. He is always ready to forgive others, and he doesn't take revenge. And the wise man is also full of good fruit. That is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's not always easy, is it? It's not always easy. He is impartial. He does not take sides or show favoritism. And finally, the wise man is sincere. He is worthy of trust. He never tries to deceive someone for his own gain. He always speaks the truth in love. Ephesians 4 and verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. In verse 18 of the chapter we read, it says, it mentions peacemakers are mentioned, those who are wise, those who have God's wisdom. They sow seeds of righteousness and they reap a harvest of righteousness. Peacemakers have learned to control their tongue. You see, it's tied in with last week's passage as well. Now, you computer buffs might be able to help me on this one. And this is where I come to a close. Anybody ever seen those abbreviations before? Christine has. When I, years and years ago, when we first started getting computers at work, I was working in what they called a pipe shop. We'd make pipes for the ships. We'd do other things as well. But at one stage, we had this room which they called the computer room. And I'm not joking, it was bigger than the kitchen. And the computer was in there. It was huge. It was huge. And because of the ships having radar, which would affect the computer, they put this special rubberized material around which would deflect any waves from the radar, I suppose. Anyway, if you looked at what was printed off from this computer, it was all gobbledygook. It wasn't anything that I could understand. So this here, what you're looking at, is an old computer term, which goes back to the old days of computing. So this is an acronym, and it stands for this. Because things changed. Suddenly, what you saw on the computer screen, you could actually print out. It wasn't something different. So this meant what you see is what you get. What you see is what you get. I wonder if it's like that with our lives. You know, we can be a little bit different when we're out in public to what we are at home, can't we? I can hold my hand up to that one. Really, we should be the same, shouldn't we? We should be the same. You know, we shouldn't be special for Sunday morning. We should be the same Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So we can be real. What you see is what you get. So when you look at me, what you see is what you get. We walk the walk. We don't just talk the talk. So just a few things about wisdom. I pray that it will help us all. What we need to do is continually look to Jesus. Remember Peter when he was walking on the water? I think he was so shocked he was walking, he looked down, didn't he? He started sinking. And we need to do the same. Because unfortunately with our tongues and our heads, it doesn't always synchronize quite right, does it? But if we've got God with us and we're close to him, he'll help us to be wise and he'll help us to say the right things. So may God bless these few thoughts we've had this morning. I'd like the last chorus, 460, to be our prayer. I'd like it to be a prayer. We'll sing it through twice if that's all right, David. May God's blessings surround you each day as you trust him and walk in his way. May his presence within guard and keep you from sin. Go in peace. Go in joy. Go in love. Oh, sorry, Colin. It's 460. Maybe if there's anybody here this morning who hasn't taken that step of faith and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, my prayer is today that you will do that. It's really great to know that the presence of God is with us. It's just unfortunate sometimes as Christians, we forget he's with us. He's still with us, but we forget he's there with us. So